Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey talk about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
How's it going, John?
I'm good. I'm impressed that, like, for once, we actually got our intro in one take.
Nailed it. What?
Yeah.
It only took, what are we up to, episode like 28 or 29?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, the first 20 episodes are just to get me loose, like a warm-up.
Yeah, yeah, because usually when we start recording, it starts out, taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds,
yeah.
The show where two nerds, we always say nerds,
yeah.
Or I had this problem in particular.
Oh, you just...
I say nerds instead of comics.
Yeah, I mean, you're right both ways.
And then I catch myself, and then I stop, and then I say,
yeah.
The show where two nerds from New Jersey, fuck!
Yeah.
And our producer, Frank Blowey, has probably at least half a dozen recordings of
right.
me saying the show where two nerds from New Jersey fuck.
I know, yeah. With that salacious info, now you can't run for Congress. So, that's...
And,
there goes their office bid.
That's true. That's true.
Damn it! Oh, could have cleaned up these streets.
I could have been a hell of a congressman.
I know. I believe in Harvey... No.
I believe in Harvey Dent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Trying to be decent men in an indecent time. That was a deep cut.
Yeah.
For all you Dark Knight nerds out there. Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, hey, let's get this episode started. We got a little bit of a news update here.
Got a little bit of news. We got a little SNL news. We got a little personal news. We got some interesting stuff going on.
Right. Before the episode begins, let's clean house and get this news out the way.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So, the internet was all abuzz mm-hmm. with the official announcement of the May 4th host of Saturday Night Live. And so, hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen. Musical guest, Shawn Mendes.
Yeah!
Right?
Finally!
Woo!
We are so excited. The guy who wrote the worst ever James Bond theme is
coming on. Oh my god, the worst?
Yeah. Oh, it's
worse
awful.
Than
it's
a so awful. View to a Kill?
Well, you know what?
Dance
actually, Madonna...
Into the fire.
I that's so cheesy, I kind of like it, but actually Madonna's Die Another Day might be worse.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Oh yeah, be thankful you don't remember.
Okay,
that.
I gotta look into that. Apparently,
it's torturous.
Yeah. Oh, and Adam Sandler's hosting too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Did I bury the lead there?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because apparently he's never hosted Saturday Night Live before.
I have heard that. Yes.
Yeah. A lot of people are pretty shocked by that. I'm like, I mean, I get it, but I don't know. What are your thoughts about this Sandler hosting?
I mean, it's certainly exciting because he's like one of the all-time best-regarded cast members of the show.
I'd say
he,
so.
He was not one of my personal favorites. I'm gonna keep it 100.
Whoa.
I'm gonna keep it 100. I did not like a lot of the stuff that he did on the show.
How about that, but George?
No, John. Why do you not like me on the show? I did so much on SNL.
Oh my god!
Why do you not like me?
Is Sandler here today? Is he here in the studio?
It's this weird paradox. I don't like Adam Sandler's on SNL much, yeah. But I fucking love imitating Adam Sandler yeah. on this podcast.
It's a fun voice. It's just fun to do. But yeah, I understand what you mean. Like, I wasn't a huge Sandler fan when he came out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, if you think about it, he was kind of the Pete Davidson of his day. Like, he was
a
stand-up comedian, not much acting work.
Mm-hmm.
Had a huge following with college kids and high school kids.
Yeah, he had a real when he came out on the show. It was like a real paradigm shift.
Yeah, very much so.
Because the show started skewing younger and it got a little more
frat bro.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, I think I remember like Julia Sweeney mentioning something like that in some interview where she was kind of trying to bring like this very introspective and thoughtful. Almost like one-woman show type of
yeah, and she
comedy.
Didn't really mesh with the Adam yeah. Sandler, David Spade, Chris yeah. Farley aesthetic.
Yeah, and like that basically took over, and then she was like, "All right, I guess I gotta go."
Yeah,
he kind of brought that frat bro humor to the forefront. Now, I still remember like when his comedy albums were huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember all my friends were like, "Yo, did you hear the album? The Hanukkah song?" Like people were going mm-hmm. nuts for those albums,
mm-hmm.
and he was a big deal for a while, but like. Now he's an older dude, so I don't know exactly how his humor is going to fit into this new cast. I even remember, Like, there was some interview I think he did in 2014. I believe it was on Norm MacDonald's podcast or something like that. And he asked him then, like, would you ever host Saturday Night Live? And he was very honest. He said, like, I don't think I would. I mean, I'm an old man now. I'm slower. You know, they got people there that can do it better than I can, which is, I think it's a very sobering, honest, you know, look.
Yeah, I remember, like, Dan Aykroyd, I think it's in the Live from New York book, he said something similar. He was probably interviewed in, like, the early 2000s for that, and he was like, I think it's better to just be, like, well-regarded as a former cast member, because then people have all those fond memories of you.
Right.
But, even Aykroyd eventually came back to host. I mean, he would come back and do, like, cameos and bits.
Right.
And I don't think Sandler's done any surprise drop-ins outside of, like, stuff on the anniversary shows.
No, he hasn't, as far as I know. So I think for a while he wasn't going to do it, but I honestly think it's because of how well his Netflix special did, that 100%. Okay. I think that, like, you know, reinvigorated something in him. Because, like, I remember, like, when that came out, like, all my friends online were like, yo, that special's hilarious. And, like, all these people I didn't know were Sandler fans were coming out as Sandler fans, saying how amazing it was. And I think it's because of that he saw, like, oh, the young people's, you know, they still like me. I still got it. So maybe that had something to do with it, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. That's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought of it in that regard.
Yeah. I haven't seen a special of you. Or
no, I haven't watched it.
Yeah, we should, like, in, you know, talk about it.
Yeah, maybe we should watch that in prep.
Maybe we should prep.
Let's not get radical. But
let's not be hasty.
But, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what he does. Is he going to do all new stuff? Is he going to bring back some of his old characters? I mean, like, some of the other SNL podcasts on Twitter were speculating, like, oh, are we going to see Opera Man? Is he going to do the Gap Girls? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do that?
Man or...
Yeah, yeah.
And I think somebody on, I think we talked about online, like, maybe he'll bring back Canteen Boy with
Canteen Boy is a sketch I do really love that he was in.
I don't know.
It's so twisted, but
it is so. It's a sketch about child molestation. It is, but
it is.
But it works, but I don't know if they'll be able to fly today.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that work in the same way today.
Yeah, I mean, I just still remember that sketch where we both really liked when The Rock hosted and he brought on the robot that molests children.
Sure,
That got groans. So if you have a sketch that's all about child molestation,
get so much groans as, like, I would call it, like, horrified laughs. I mean, because there's that shock factor, but, I mean, people were still laughing. It was still funny.
Okay, all right, you're right. That's true.
But it's just, the first time you go there and people are like, I mean, there's that gasp
Yeah.
Such a fun reaction.
Yeah, it is, too. Horrified Laughter.
Yeah, I mean.
My new special.
Yes. That's a good title.
Yeah, Horrified Laughter.
Horrified Laughter.
If anybody wants it, that's yours. You take it.
That could also be, like, the title of the made-for-TV movie about you, Horrified Laughter, the Darren Patterson story.
I like it.
Who could play where you're becoming, like, a huge stand-up comic, and then you get, like, some terminal disease or something like that.
Oh, Lord, wow.
It's your struggle. And
so you're killing me off in my own...
Yeah, this could be the Brian Song of stand-up comedy.
Brian Song?
Yes.
That's where you're going?
That's right. Because I have nothing if not current references.
Brian's good gravy.
Which one was dying in Brian Song? I don't even remember.
Wasn't it Brian?
Well, I mean, was it Billy Dee Williams or was it James Caan? Which one was dying?
I have not seen Brian Song.
I have never watched Brian Song either. I just know that they're two football players. Right. They were friends. One of them has a terminal disease, and it's very touching.
Look, I only kind of get that whole Brian Song reference. I was playing along.
All right, I'm going to Google Brian Song. Darren's going to talk for a little while because I got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, I mean, if you had said, like, you know, A Walk to Remember or The Fault in Our Stars, I would have gotten that.
But I am sadly more familiar with Brian Song than I am. Yeah.
All right. So, Adam Sandler hosting on May 4th. I'm actually very interested in seeing where it is going to go. I'm very interested in see how they're going to handle this, how he's going to do this. I mean, I'm pretty pumped for it.
Yeah.
That's overall. And, personal business. So, I don't know if anybody came out to the show I did in Newark, New Jersey, the Brick City Comedy Review, but I hosted that. It was a great show, good turnout, hilarious comics. I had a co-host named Ty Rainey
fill
in because a certain someone couldn't show up.
Why was I not told about this?
Well, because maybe check your phone. Maybe check your internet, your phone provider, and see that you kind of maybe sort of backed out because you had other things to do more important than bringing joy and laughter to the good city of Newark, New Jersey.
I can't deny that.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, I had to, unfortunately, back out of the show.
Boo!
Because somebody I was interviewing, they suggested Friday evening as a time I could interview him, and I knew that I couldn't do it then. It would be at least another couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, yes, I'll do that. Darren will understand. Darren did understand.
I did. It was fine.
He was like, yeah, you're fine. And he alleviated my guilt. And then, of course, like, on the day, the person I was going to interview was like, oh, hey, something's come up. I can't do the interview. And, you know, as far as I knew at this time, Darren was going to host the show by himself. So I was like, hey, Darren, I can co-host with you again if you're cool with it.
But by the
I sent along Warren Zevon's Reconsider Me via text.
It was very touching.
And
it was his In Your Eyes Say Anything.
Yes, comment. Yes. I went to the outside of Darren's house. I hoisted a boombox over my head. I was wearing my John Cusack trench coat.
The light, the heat in your eyes.
And,
I am complete.
And Darren was like, no, I already got tired.
I moved on. Bye, boy.
And Ty Rainey is a great comedian, friend of the show, friend of both of us. You've eaten pancakes with Ty Rainey.
I've eaten pancakes with Ty. Yeah, Ty Rainey has a great sort of web series called Pancake Social, where he has comics over. They talk about comedy and, you know, just the world of, you know, stand-up comedy. And while they do that, he makes pancakes for you. He records it in his kitchen, and he actually just makes breakfast, and you just talk shop, and it's great. And
yeah,
so
and
watch,
cool.
watch if you can. And Ty Rainey's an awesome comic, and he helped me co-host a show. It was a great show, mm-hmm. and it was phenomenal and good things.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Wow.
We raised the roof. As the kids say.
Phenomenal.
I'll say phenomenal.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Phenomenal.
All right. Well, you know what? I have just one thing to say to that.
What's that?
Brian Piccolo was played by James Caan in the TV movie Brian's Song, and Brian Piccolo was the football player who had terminal cancer, and they were teammates on the Chicago Bears. So
Bears.
So Brian Piccolo was the guy with the terminal disease.
Oh, okay.
So if we were to do a Brian's Song type TV movie,
right?
I guess I would have to get the terminal disease.
Okay, all right.
Just to maintain the Brian Song parallel.
Just to maintain the authenticity.
Right.
Okay. So right. Who would we get to play you? Like, I know we talked about Richard Mall last time from Night Court.
You know, he seems a little old.
Okay. All right. Well, Joss Whedon. He doesn't do too much acting, but
yeah. I mean, I would be okay with Joss Whedon.
And of course, I would be played by Idris Elba. So
sure, yep. That tracks.
Yeah,
that tracks.
Yeah,
yeah.
It all tracks.
Right,
it
right.
all tracks.
Okay.
All right. Let's get this show. Let's get the show started. All right. Let's talk
all
about
right.
this episode.
Okay. So this episode, we haven't even said what episode we're covering.
People don't
this
even know what we're talking about.
this is let me scroll up to my notes. This is the Saturday Night Live episode from April 6, 2019, season 44, episode 17. Kit Harington and hosting and Sarah Bareilles musical guesting.
Yeah, Kit. That can't be his real name, Kit Harington, right?
Kit, you think it's a stage name?
It sounds like
it sounds made up.
Yeah, it sounds like a news anchor name or like a soap opera character or a porn star. It just you know it just sounds like Days of Our Lives starring Kit Harington.
Mm, okay.
Or you know, this is Kit Harington with the news.
Well, I mean he's a British fellow from what I understand, and they can have somewhat different names from us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They allow that?
They do.
It's not American.
I mean, right. he's no Benedict Cumberbatch, but
That name. Let's
that's
not even
the
talk.
Most British name ever.
My God, that's just like British McBritterman.
But Kit Harington, he's of course most well known, most famous for Game of Thrones,
yes.
where he plays Mr. Jon Snow.
Mm.
Darren and I are a little handicapped in this episode because neither one of us watches Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so a lot of you Game of Thrones fans are going to you're really going to be upset with us.
We are going to trigger you during this episode.
It's like, they're not saying the name right.
I'm going to be upfront. My knowledge of Game of Thrones comes almost entirely from Conan O'Brien segments when he goes to the San Diego Comic-Con and he has the Game of Thrones actors guest.
That's more than I am.
So,
have you never seen an episode at all?
I don't think I've ever watched an episode. I'm not generally like a big fantasy sort of sorcery type person. I love the comic books. I love the science fiction.
Right.
Fantasy is just a genre I never got into as much. I just can't.
Okay. So like Lord of the Rings, Dungeons and Dragons.
I watched Lord of the Rings. My main thought during the 3-hour run of the first Lord of the Rings movie, I was like, I would kill for somebody named Ralph.
Anybody?
I mean, it was like, Saruman and Aragorn and all the Gons, you know, it's a lot to keep track. There's not much I could relate to or hook into, you know?
There's no reality.
It
is fantasy.
And if you love that stuff, that's great. I'm happy for you. No judgment. I have nothing against the stuff. It's just not my personal thing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I think it's all right. I think it's okay. Like, I saw all the Lord of the Rings. I think they were fine, but, you know, I just remember them being crazy long.
Yeah.
More like Long of the Rings. Right. Are you
Darren
ready?
Patterson, bring the heat.
Yeah.
You're on notice, Lord of the Rings.
Y'all ready for this? Hey. So anyway, this episode, Harrington and Sabrell. So the cold open.
Cold open.
Joe Biden 2020 campaign.
Joe Biden campaign headquarters. It's Joe Biden getting briefed on more appropriate ways to interact with women.
Yes. He's been in the news lately about being a little handsy, little gropey, little, you know, smelly, sniffy, sneezy, dopey doc with the ladies. And,
yes.
You know, you can't do that.
And the big news for this, the grand return of Jason Sudeikis as Joe Biden.
The Duke.
Yeah.
I
don't know. We're calling him the Duke now.
Sudeikis. Oh, maybe. Or the Dake.
The Dake?
Yeah. Well, that sounds wrong.
Okay.
I like
the Duke. I mean,
yeah,
John Wayne's not using it anymore. Let's give it to Jason Sudeikis.
Done.
All right. Jason the Duke Sudeikis returning as Joe Biden. Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And, I mean, their slant on him here is basically he's like, he's clueless, but he means well.
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah, he kind of busts in, and he's like, oh, hey, you. And like he says, oh, let's play a little music to get the mood here. And of course, he plays like Lou Rawls. Which is inappropriate. And it was also interesting to see, like, Kate McKinnon comes in as the advisor to show him what he can and cannot do.
Yes.
And it was weird to see, because Kate was kind of like the straight person in this one. Like, she wouldn't,
yeah.
She didn't have, like...
It wasn't as outrageous of a character as Kate McKinnon usually plays.
Yeah, she was, like, pulling it back more just so, I guess, Sudeikis could, like, bring it more and be more...
Yeah, and she was actually starting to break a little bit at one point.
A little bit, yeah. And, of course, Sudeikis, you know, being more and more outrageous, was like, oh, I can't, you know, tickle girl women anymore. He's like, no, you can't. Like,
not even on their birthday?
That's a funny line.
There were a lot of funny lines in this. Biden says, I'm a hugger, a kisser, and a little bit of a sniffer. He says, I did the 23andMe, and I'm 1% Eskimo, so rubbing noses is totally okay.
So they
bring in a few women for Joe Biden to practice with who are undecided Democratic voters. And so we have Adie Bryant come in. And Joe cradles her face in his hands.
Yes.
And Adie ends up like...
punching him in the stomach.
I thought she'd like knee him in the crotch, but...
One of the... She hit him low.
She physically assaulted him somewhere in the midsection.
She went low.
And then Leslie Jones comes in, and then she recognizes Joe Biden as Obama's granddaddy.
Yeah.
And grabs his ass.
Yes.
And she says, I'm totally going to vote for you.
Yeah, yeah. She's a lot of ass slapping.
Lot of ass grabbing.
Yeah, as you do.
And there was a great line where they were talking about, because, of course, the Trump people are jumping all over this story.
Yeah.
And they were saying, like, well, wait, hasn't Trump, like, admitted on tape to actually assaulting women and grabbing them by the hoo-ha?
Yeah.
And they're like, yes, but unlike Trump supporters, your voters actually care about that stuff.
Yeah, it's not wrong.
Not wrong. Not wrong.
Not wrong.
And, the really weird thing is, like, Biden hasn't even officially announced yet.
Yeah, this is all happening, and, like, he hasn't said he's going to run yet. He's just... Like, wow.
You know, and you know, I
I just don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to run. I don't know if he should run. I don't know how much this is going to damage him. I
just want life to go back to normal. I just want to be able to sleep at night.
Is there such a thing?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. But I thought this was a strong open for the show. I thought it...
Yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah.
It was topical. It's what you want in an SNL cold open.
Yeah, it wasn't a Trump opening. It wasn't anything like that.
You didn't have Robert De Niro awkwardly reading cue cards.
Oof.
You had a beloved cast member returning. It's what you want.
Yeah.
It gets you pumped for the show.
Yeah, it was all right.
So it was good. So next we had the monologue with Mr. Kit Harington coming out. Clean shaven.
Yeah, people were freaking out about that.
Shaved for the show.
People were aghast.
He's not very recognizable without the beard.
To be honest, I wouldn't recognize him with the beard. I don't know Game of Thrones like that at all.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the main thing I know about Jon Snow, I know he was like killed off for a while, and then he was a very beloved character.
Spoiler! What?
And then they brought him back, and
yeah, he like came back from I don't know the dead or I don't know something.
Yeah,
the snow,
or he just went to the store for a bit and then came back. And
yeah.
He was like, I've got Funyuns.
I'm going to the store. And call me if you need anything.
That was Jon Snow's resurrection.
Yeah,
he brought back Funyuns. So he came out, and we had he of course did the audience questions, which I don't think have they done that this season.
No, I don't think they have. Like mostly this season, they've done like you know the host talking about themselves like autobiographically.
Mm-hmm.
But this is probably the first like audience you know Q&A he's done in a while. He also mentioned the movies he's done before.
Oh yeah, some of the movies that didn't do so well.
Yes, a movie called Pompeii, which was. Apparently a bigger disaster than the actual Pompeii.
Mm.
And something called Silent Hill Revelation 3D. Yeah, I got the same reaction.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
So, so Game of Thrones is like the big thing he was
yeah,
known for.
Yeah, and we had an audience member who was asking him Game of Thrones spoiler type questions, and he's like, well, I really can't talk about that.
Right.
And the audience member just goes, bitch, I didn't come here for sketches.
Which is hilarious. I'm going to try to work that into my everyday speech. Like,
yeah, that should be like, a part of our vernacular.
Yeah, like I'm going to 7-Eleven and I want a Slurpee. It's like, bitch, I didn't come here for sketches.
Yeah.
Where them Slurpees at? actually, that person I found out is a writer for SNL.
I figured. They usually utilize a lot of the writers in those audience Q&A segments because they're not as recognizable as the cast members.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I figured that guy was a writer. Who is he?
Gary Richardson.
All right.
I'm not familiar with his work, but like I saw online a few people like, oh, it's Gary's online. So Gary Richardson.
I don't think I've seen him pop up on the show before. He didn't look recognizable to me.
I don't
think
so. He might have been like maybe an extra here or there. But yeah, this is like the first time I've recognized
him. Kudos to you, Gary Richardson.
Yay.
You go, girl.
Yeah.
And then we had some Game of Thrones people.
Yeah, a lot of throwing.
Cameoing. We had Emilia Clarke.
Yes.
She said, do you remember when we had sex in season 6? Did you know that they filmed that? That was cute. We had John Bradley.
Yes.
Who I'm not sure who he plays.
We'll make up a name. Aragorn.
He plays Hodor's friend.
There you go.
He plays Hodor's friend Gary.
Nice.
Yeah.
You just heard the name Gary from Gary Richardson. You couldn't think of another name?
No.
Oh, boy.
I am not good on my feet.
Improv is not your milieu.
John Bradley asks, are we going to hang out after the show? Because Game of Thrones is in its last season now.
Right, right.
So he's very concerned about their friendship. We had Pete Davidson showing up in makeup as the Night King.
Right.
Who he asks, do people hate me?
Yeah, I guess he's a big deal on the game.
Big villain.
I could just imagine all the Game of Thrones listeners just like grinding their teeth.
We are enraging so many Game of Thrones listeners.
I mean, I
because
get it.
We are so freaking indifferent to this show.
I mean, I get it. If I listen to a podcast and they were like whatever with the Avengers or, you know,
mm-hmm.
A Tribe Called Quest or something I loved, I'd be like very like, that's not great.
Honestly, if I was a Game of Thrones listener, I probably would have switched off by now. Because like, these guys don't know shit about what they're talking about. And we also had Rose Leslie, who is Kit Harington's wife, who he met on the show.
Yes.
And she asked, how soon can you grow the beard back?
Yes. Because and of course, she asked, what are we going to do for money now that you're not yes. on the show? Where he's like, oh, no, I got some stuff happening, baby.
So this was cute.
Yeah,
I enjoyed this.
I like it. What?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was also going to mention, like, another person that showed up was who I recognized, who's also a writer on SNL, Sam J. She was one of the person who asked, oh, is this like a Harry Potter thing? He's like, oh, no. This is
I totally forgotten that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm game. No, this is Game of Thrones. And he's like, oh, man. All right, come on, guys. Let's go. And bunch of other people were like scarves and wands.
Yeah.
Thought it was a Harry Potter thing.
That was a good gag.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember that because Sam J, she's actually an awesome comic. And I saw her. She had the Comedy Central half hour special, which was hilarious. And like a 15 minute special on Netflix, which is very funny.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very cool.
Sam J, check her out.
Way to go, Sam J.
Yay.
Sam J and Gary Richardson.
Yes.
Two SNL writers getting called up to the big leagues.
We're doing it, people.
All right. So next we had the first sketch, which was the 2019 Nephew Pageant.
Yeah, I don't know about what did you...
My last note on the sketch is, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, I just wrote a bunch of question marks. Like,
I didn't really get the point of this. This was we had Kit Harington as last year's. It's like a beauty pageant for nephews, and we had their aunts introducing them.
Right.
Kit Harington was last year's winner, Joshua. We had Kyle Mooney showing up as Devin. Mikey Day as Lucas. Chris Redd as Daniel. He was on crutches.
Yeah.
He shattered his leg doing a backflip in his dorm room. I didn't get this.
I didn't either.
I didn't see where it was coming from. I didn't really have any laughs.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's like eight. Like, whenever it is a sketch where like 80 sings a lot, like, I have a feeling like 80 had a hand in writing it.
Maybe.
She's like, oh, she's singing a lot in this one. Like,
yeah, she was doing like interstitial singing intros.
Yeah, she like sang a lot in that Millennial Million sketch, mm-hmm, the one where Miss Maisel was hosting. I can't remember. Oh, Rachel Brosnahan was hosting.
Yeah,
uh-huh. She likes to sing a lot, and I don't know this sketch. It was confusing. I don't
see why you would pick this to lead off the night. This is something you put in the back half of the show.
Very much so. Yes. This is weird enough to be okay. Like,
this is something
later
you cut a dress.
Yeah. Like this. I was watching this. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't see the point of it. I didn't get it.
That was weird. I mean, the show was going well up until that, and then it took a turn with this sketch.
Yeah, it was just more odd than funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a head scratcher.
Yeah, very much so. So that's our thoughts on that. That's
yeah,
all we got.
Not much else to say.
Yeah. All right. So the next sketch was basically an HBO commercial saying, "Oh, this is the last season of Game of Thrones,"
mm-hmm,
but you know what that means. Spinoffs, reboots, and remakes of Game of Thrones.
Prequels, sequels, spinoffs.
Oh.
We got so many spinoff shows because HBO is actually doing a prequel show.
They are?
For Game of Thrones, I understand.
I didn't even. That makes sense, yeah.
I mean, yeah, because it's this huge brand. You want to keep that going. You want to milk that as much as you possibly can.
Milk that cow till it ain't. It can't be milked no more.
You get some of the backstory in there. Yeah. You get a bunch of cheaper actors.
Right.
You can still use the locations from the show.
That's right. Use the same props.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just milk it till the teat is sore.
Yeah, that's right. Until people are just like, we are sick of Game of Thrones. John and Darren were right to not watch this.
That's right.
The history. SNL nerds are prophets.
That's right.
We should believe everything they say from now on.
History will prove us right
that's
in the
right.
end.
But
some of the shows that they showed, some of the spinoffs that they showed were something like Castle Black, which was like a Game of Thrones Riverdale.
Sexy, moody drama about forbidden love with Heidi Gardner in very extensive makeup.
Yeah.
As like some sort of ghoulish type thing. She looked similar to like how Pete Davidson looked in the...
Yeah, yeah, in the opening.
The opening.
Yeah, I know it's like in a lot of these pre-tapes, if they put a lot of money in the budget, it seems like.
Well, like, they really go all out to make those look good.
Yeah.
And they ape the various film styles. And
right.
They do a really strong job on those.
Yeah, like the duel with Sandra Oh last week. Mm-hmm. That looked really, like, professional. Like, they put money in that. I was like, this looks really good.
And when you think that they're putting that together in just a matter of days. Because they're probably shooting that on, like, Tuesday.
Yeah,
and then
much.
Editing it together... Before Saturday. I mean,
shoot a Tuesday, edit like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
and
be ready for Saturday. That's an impressive feat.
It's incredible. It's incredible. So we also had Arya, which was a spinoff on the character Arya.
Yeah.
And is animated.
Daria. Yeah.
Yeah, animated in the style of Daria.
Yeah, which is like, an animated part in SNL. I haven't seen that in a minute.
Yeah, and I mean, getting animation done. I mean, I guess that was Flash animation. I don't know.
Okay.
And it was kind of fun for me to see Daria, because like when I back in the day, like 20 years ago, when I worked for a video game developer, we did a Daria video game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a Daria video.
Yeah.
It's out?
Like 20 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But
it's not on its way out.
So, next month. You'll have to find the cutting edge of 1999 technology to play it.
TurboGrafx-16.
Yeah, we did like a Daria, it was like a daily planner thing, and then some sort of Daria video game. So I had to draw the Daria characters for a few months.
I gotta,
which was interesting.
I gotta find that.
Yeah. I think I might have a copy at home.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's probably like a CD-ROM or something.
I didn't get a birthday gift from you, so...
Okay, maybe. Woo! We'll talk off air.
Hot dog.
Next week, we had Sam and Gilly in The Queen of King's Landing.
It was like a sitcom.
Like a King of Queens thing.
Yeah, it was just like a bunch of like Game of Thrones. It seemed like
it was a very rapid fire thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It seemed like Cecily Strong was doing like a bit of her Gemma voice for the Gilly character.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. And there was Wilding Out, which is like a Wildin' Out type of parody. There was No Ballers, which was like Ballers, but they have no balls.
We had Hodor's House, which was sort of like a Nickelodeon kids type show.
It looked like a Pee-wee's Playhouse with Hodor.
And then the big thing at the end, we had...
Yeah, this surprised me.
Game of Thrones SVU with Mariska Hargitay and Ice-T cameoing as their characters from Law & Order SVU.
They actually got him to do this.
Yeah, it's just hilarious seeing Ice-T and Mariska Hargitay in the Game of Thrones type character costumes.
That kind of surprised me. I was like, whoa.
And Ice-T says, you're telling me some sick son of a bitch cut this dude's thing off, then fed it to his dog, then gouged a guy's eyes out, then fed him his own eyes, then wore his dead skin to an orgy, then got busy with where the eyes used to be, which I believe is all stuff that has literally happened on Game of Thrones. I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
That show gets twisted.
Oh, that's why I don't watch it. That's gross. Yeah.
But this struck me, it was very like John Mulaney-esque, where John Mulaney has a thing in his stand-up where he's talking about Ice-T, how in every episode of SVU, it seems like it's his first day on the job.
So you mean to tell me
that this guy gets off on little girls with pigtails?
Yeah,
Ice, you work in a sex crimes unit. You're going to have to get used to this.
That's crazy. Oh, God. But yeah, I mean, as far as this gets to, I thought it was all right. I kind of dug it. Yeah. I mean, the Mariska Hargitay Ice-T thing really, really threw me for a loop.
I mean, that was just funny because it was so wonderfully unexpected. And that's what you watch SNL for.
Absolutely.
Just to get those kinds of unexpected pleasant surprises.
Mm-hmm.
So this was fun. This was pretty solid. And I like the line at the end, we're going full Star Wars on this.
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course.
That was fun.
Oof. So the next one was a cruise ship thing where they had two couples and Leslie Jones were watching a cruise act where they say, oh, this is great. He's a great, I've heard he's a great Frank Sinatra impersonator.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Kit Harington as a Frank Sinatra impersonator, but he's also dressed as Michael Jackson.
Right.
And he's kind of...
He's got the red jacket, the one glove.
Yeah. So he's like singing Michael Jackson songs, but like he's replacing them with words from, you know, Frank Sinatra songs.
He's saying My Way is Billie Jean.
Yes.
And then it comes out over the course of the sketch that they were a Michael Jackson cover band until a few weeks ago.
Yeah, because we all know.
Yeah, when that HBO dropped that documentary.
Right. So now they're like, oh, no, I'm Frank Sinatra. But like, there's still some crossover from his Michael Jackson
days. Right, and they're now Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack Five, and all everyone in the backup band is a black person,
right? Exactly.
Which,
and then I think Beck Benson says, no, it's just called the Rat Pack. Don't say the Rat Pack Five.
Yeah, they weren't called the Rat Pack Five. They were just the Rat Pack. And then Kate McKinnon comes out as Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
And then why are we even having Macaulay Culkin in this still?
Yeah. I don't know. The sketch is. What do you think about it?
I thought it was all right. It took a really weird turn at the end where we go back to the audience. We had Beck Bennett and Heidi Gardner as a couple, and then Leslie Jones as somebody who's sitting with them. And then she's like, oh, do you want to come back to my cabin and do some drugs and have a three-way?
Right.
It was a weird thing because it was about the band, and then suddenly at the very end, it's about the people watching the band.
Yeah, because I think after that, it was revealed that they didn't know who Leslie Jones was.
Yeah.
They were like, oh my God, who was that person? Just came in and drank my margarita? Who was that?
Yeah.
Let's get the hell out of here.
And just a weird, weird way to end it.
There's a lot, you know, throughout the show, there's a lot of sketches where it ends on a weird twist.
Yeah, they right? have, I mean.
There's like, we'll talk about it, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know, yeah. There's a lot of these sketches. I don't know how I feel about them. Like,
I mean, ending things is tough. It's yeah. tough to come up with a good, strong ending. I mean, as this podcast abundantly demonstrates every week, when we just sort of peter out at the end.
Oh
but,
my God, we're living proof.
Yeah. So you know, we're ones to talk, but.
But yeah, that ending was like,
It was just weird because it just suddenly shifted the focus.
Right, and it just kind of like, oh, and I guess it's about them.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, it was just weird.
Yeah, I mean, the sketch was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So the next one was a sketch at a GameStop mm-hmm. where Pete Davidson is trying out this new virtual reality video game.
Mm-hmm.
And the GameStop employee is like, yeah, it's so realistic. It's sick, bro. So he puts it on. It's this game called Earth War 3 where, you know, you have to fight off zombies and stuff. So it's Pete Davidson. He's in the bunker and he meets up with this one guy, he's like, oh, I'm Damien. I run the bunker. I'll help you get, you know, weapons and stuff. You got to go to see Ethan over there to get your gun. And then he goes to Ethan in the virtual reality game. And he's like, hey, I'm Ethan. So, like, I know Damien told you he runs this place, but I kind of actually run this place. Mm-hmm. And, like, and basically he kind of gets into this, like, this office drama
yeah,
while he's just trying to get a gun to shoot up the zombies.
Right. And he's getting caught up in the interpersonal dynamics of these non-player characters.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
So then he goes back to Damien and is like, hey, I'm Damien. Hey, did he even say something about me to you? Because, like, mm-hmm. he's been really weird to me. And, like, did I make him mad? What's with... And it's... That's pretty much the joke. It's just,
yeah.
like, a lot
I thought this was cute. I enjoyed this. This was good because, I mean, I a lot of players, that they want to skip past the briefing part or the cutscenes and stuff, and they just want to play the game. You want to get to shooting zombies, and this was funny just because they're getting all caught up in the minutiae
right.
of their relationships, which has nothing to do with the main
yeah.
part of the
and
game.
And they're like, hey, man, just wait out here for a minute. Me and Ethan got to hash out some stuff.
Yeah, and at the very end, he finally goes into the playing field, and there's Pete Davidson.
It's Chris Redd. He actually goes out without a gun. He's like, forget right. this. Okay. I'll just go without a gun.
And it was Chris Redd as a zombie, and then he starts asking about Damien and Ethan.
He's like, hey, what's up with Damien and Ethan?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, God.
Yeah, so... Funny sketch. It reminded me a little of the David S. Pumpkins sketch or the Kevin Roberts sketch that they did when
David Pumpkins, really?
Yeah, when Larry David hosted, where they're on the police firing range and they're like, you know, you want to do this one thing and then it's like, well, why is this thing going on? Why is this weird irrelevant thing? It reminded me. It had that sort of randomness
okay.
to it. I wonder if it, like, maybe shared the same writers or something like
maybe.
That.
Maybe. That's interesting.
But it right. I'm not saying it was, like, the same sketch at all. I'm just saying it was reminiscent. It had, like, a similar yeah. sort of feel to those
had
sketches.
Shades of it.
Yes.
Interesting. All yes. right. Cool. All right. And so after that, I believe Sarah Bareilles
mm-hmm.
sang some songs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's okay. She's nice. I mean, I'm not a huge, you know, Bareilles head, Bareilles-holic.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, she has a great voice. She sings.
She does.
She sings
yeah.
real nice.
I enjoy her stuff. I mean, I'm not like clamoring for her, but she's, you know, just nice, inoffensive
yeah.
stuff, the sort of stuff you just hear piped
yeah.
in a Barnes & Noble as you're browsing.
Yeah, exactly, where you're looking for books and mm-hmm. sip a nice Frappuccino.
Yeah, I think she was one of the better musical guests we've had this season.
Yeah, it's like no bells and whistles, nothing fancy. It's just mm-hmm. like, hey, I got a nice voice. Here's a piano. I'm gonna sing a little tune for you, and you're gonna love it.
Yeah, and like, see, apparently her current album is Amidst the Chaos, if I got the title of that right. And she's also going to be in the Broadway musical Waitress.
Oh,
which I have not seen, but I've seen the movie. The movie was good.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. So. Wow, I haven't seen a movie in forever.
Yeah,
that was good stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Good stuff.
But right. we enjoyed the Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah, go on, Bareilles.
Mm-hmm.
Rock on with your bad self.
Yeah. So you know, something I should say. In the little interstitial bits in commercial,
yeah.
I didn't notice any Mohawk Man.
What happened to Mohawk?
I don't know. Is Lorne hiding Mohawk Man from us?
What is going? Is he? Have you seen Mohawk Man ever since we mentioned Mohawk Man?
I've seen him like once or twice more. Why are we getting too close to the truth?
Why are they hiding him?
What is going on? Lauren, what are you hiding?
Are you tapping our phones? This goes all the way to the top.
We are going to find Mohawk Man.
We will not rest.
He will have all the answers for us.
We got too close.
Not just about SNL, about life in general.
Because
Mohawk Man has lived a life.
Oh, my God. You don't have a mohawk without having lived a life.
There's a story behind that mohawk.
Oh, indeed. Oh, my God. Like, the tales he has to tell.
I mean, let Mohawk Man out.
Yes.
And just play and
play?
Yeah. And interact with the people on the show. We just want to see Mohawk Man.
Hashtag free Mohawk Man.
Yes. Hashtag free Mohawk Man.
Yes.
So I just want to get that out there.
Yes, right.
All right. We see you, Lauren.
We see you. We see what you're up to.
Yeah.
Mr. Michaels.
Next we have Weekend Update.
Weekend Update with Jost and Che.
So we're there talking all about the news stories of the week. A lot of Joe Biden up at the top. Let's see. Che said that Biden looks like one of those uncles who calls spring sundress time.
Not wrong.
Which, yeah, I could totally see Joe Biden doing that. There was apparently a group of Republicans decrying Biden. They're Independent Republicans of New York, or irony.
I like that joke a lot.
That's a solid joke.
That was a good one.
Was a great joke. Didn't see it coming.
I stood up and applauded.
Did you?
I got off my couch. I was like, bravo.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow. And Che teased that he might be running for president in 2020.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So that's...
He's got my vote.
Yeah. We could do worse. We have done worse. We are doing worse.
We are. This is the worst.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's right.
Che had a great line where he was talking about how the Mueller probe apparently didn't have enough evidence
to
prove collusion on the part of Donald Trump. And Che just goes, well, planet, you're the FBI. Which, again, wonderful. Not a take I've heard before, but...
He said, just turn off your body cam and put some crack in his shoes. What's the problem?
Damn, that is funny.
Hey, man, he ain't wrong.
That's... Che... Che is golden.
Just plant some evidence.
Yeah.
You know, you've done it. All right. So the first guest they had is film critic Terry Frank with Alec Moffat. Alex Moffat. I said Alec. Wow.
You said Alec. Oof. Yeah.
He
believes in macro dosing, which is basically seeing movies on LSD.
Yes. He's taken a huge doses of LSD, and he has these movie reviews now for him.
And so his plot summaries for the movies are getting mixed up with his hallucinations.
Yes. Yeah. Like he called Dumbo a terrifying journey into hell.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also reviewed, what was it? A Star is Born.
Yeah.
And then Colin was like, hey, that came out months ago.
Oh, Colin, you still believe in time.
I like this one. I thought it was good.
It was good. It didn't overstay its welcome. Yeah. I don't know if I want this to become like a regular recurring bit.
It might.
If they go a little further with it, it could be fun.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. Just like him all on LSD talking about these regular movies and mm-hmm, how he sees mm-hmm. them through his LSD mind.
Yeah.
And when he shot back to Jost, he always called him different names.
Like yeah.
Colin, and then he called him Todd, and he called him Jesus.
Right.
I thought that was like, all right, that's funny.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like this as much as, say, like John Mulaney and Pete Davidson reviewing The Mule.
I mean,
if we have to have movie reviewers on Weekend Update, those are the guys who get my vote.
Everything's better with LSD. That's what I've always said.
Everything's better with LSD and John Mulaney.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
So bring John Mulaney on LSD.
Thank you.
Then we got something.
Now you got a story there, fella. Now you're cooking with gas.
Let's see. They also reported on a Star Wars orgy, which is like a regular orgy where you find out that the guy in the mask is actually your father.
Hey-o!
That sounds like a Stefan line, doesn't it?
It does.
I didn't realize that until I said that out loud. But
the newest club is Star Wars Orgy.
Yeah. And then the last week we had Keenan as Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
I didn't really have the background to get this. I'm not a sports fan, so I had no idea that Charles Barkley had gambled away his money.
Yeah, we don't watch Game of Thrones or sports, people.
Yeah, we are shut-ins.
Yes. We fear the outdoors and change.
Yes.
I mean, I did like his one line saying the only thing that's black in Minnesota is toenails.
Yeah, that was
a good line.
That's a good line.
But yeah. I mean, for the most part, he was just kind of saying some stuff you'd have to understand if you knew about Auburn and the Final Four and basketballings.
Yeah. Zoom right over my head.
Right over it.
So next sketch, we had Erin's bachelorette party where Kit Harington comes in as her fiance, who is also acting as the stripper.
Yes.
For the show.
But he's not stripping.
He's doing burlesque. Brrr. Yeah, so we have Kit Harington in a bustier.
Yes.
Doing burlesque, which I'm sure is fulfilling a fetish for someone out there somewhere.
Yeah. somebody's fan fiction is getting
Straight up turned into an SNL sketch.
Indeed.
You know.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
the sketch, it started okay, and then it got weird, but then it got a little weirder when like Kate McKinnon came in as like his burlesque instructor, who's like this French,
French lady. I love that she was smoking two cigarettes.
Yeah.
At the same time. I think she had one in each hand. She's just alternating between the cigarettes.
Nice
character work by Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, and of course, then Kit took off his bustier, and he had like tassels on his nip nips.
Yes, and Melissa Villaseñor was a guest who was very, very eager to see Cecily's fiance's body.
Yeah.
And at the end of the sketch, we find out that she's actually the sister of Kit Harington's character.
And like everybody was like, oh my God, you're his sister?
This was another bizarre, out of nowhere ending.
Yeah, the twist might have saved it in this case. I don't know.
This was certainly a better twist than the one on the cruise ship sketch.
Yeah.
But it was still kind of random out of nowhere.
Yeah, the sketch was
Not entirely out of nowhere. They did set it up. I take that back.
Yeah.
Because she was like, she did say several times, like, oh, I wanna see your fiance's body. I wanna see his body.
I wanna see his body. And then
you think it's just a horny friend who wants to see her friend's guy's
body as
incestuous, which I guess very apropos for a Game of Thrones episode, because
they
got the incest going on that show.
They do.
It's
all the incest fans. You got that there.
Yeah,
that's for you.
Yeah, so maybe that was another little Game of Thrones fan service there.
Yeah. You're welcome. This show has everything for everybody. except...
Game of Thrones fans. You like the incest, right?
So here you go. Have at it. But yeah, the sketch was like, I don't know. It was... I don't know.
We're saying a lot of I don't know.
There's something off. I don't know. I felt like there's a weird vibe throughout this show.
Well, I mean, this sketch, it was mainly dependent on the visual of Kit Harington in the women's underwear.
Yeah.
Doing the burlesque, taking the glove off.
Yeah, yeah.
Sensually. And, I mean, once you're past that initial shock,
then it's like,
there's not a lot left, I don't think.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, they peak too early, and then it's like, all right, where do you go now?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, he wasn't doing anything particularly funny during his dancing or his burlesque routine.
Yeah, I don't know about Kit Harington's performance this episode.
I thought he was kind of so-so as a host overall.
Yeah, he was like, I mean, maybe we'll talk about the end, but he seemed kind of like stiff in some places. And some places he looked downright uncomfortable.
I mean, it's live TV. It's not it's not for everybody.
That's true.
People take to the format, some people don't.
This
just might have been one of the people who didn't.
This is true. Well, you're tough but fair, Trouble.
I try to be.
All right. So the next one, Day in the Life of Theresa May.
Yes, this was another film segment dealing with all the hubbub over Brexit.
All the hullabaloo.
Yes.
It was Kate McKinnon as Theresa May, and Sarah Bareilles was like playing a song throughout, Day in the Life of Theresa May,
Buckingham Palace guards give her the finger.
Yes. She eats fish and chips outdoors, and
a bird craps into her fish and chips.
Yeah, basically. It's just basically like nothing goes right for her.
And we had Kate McKinnon dancing in a Union Jack unitard.
Yeah. And
or leotard, whichever that is.
I think it's a unitard covers the whole body, right?
Right. Yeah. I guess it was a unitard.
Yeah, yeah. She just does like interpretive dance while Sarah Bareilles plays. And then at some point, Beck Bennett comes out, dresses Winston Churchill, and dances.
Yes.
This was odd.
It got a little surreal. It was just kind of talking about what a tough time Theresa May is having right now. And then at the end, Theresa May wakes up and it's her dreaming that she had a solution to Brexit.
Right, exactly. And then she wakes up and is like, well, screw you. At least I'm trying to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, odd sketches can be funny sometimes, but then sometimes odd sketches are just odd.
Yeah.
I felt like this was just odd. I was just like, I don't.
Yeah, it was.
What I'm saying right now is how I felt when I watched the episode. I was just like, what? Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, confusion and just, all right.
Darren does look very confused right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. It was.
His brow is furrowed. Yeah. His mouth is slightly agape.
There's a giant.
He's just like, He's got a little question mark floating over his
giant
head.
Giant question mark floating above my head.
In a thought balloon.
Yes.
The thought bubbles there.
Yes, exactly.
You know, he's just like, what?
Huh? Wah, wah, wah?
His head is tilted. He's very confused right now.
My head is tilted like the RCA dog just staring at a phonograph.
You could take like a photograph of Darren's head at this moment and turn it into an emoji for confusion.
You could.
Yeah.
You could. Let's get on that.
Let's do that.
I know. I need some. We got to make some money.
Let's get some marketing opportunities going.
Let's do.
We're
going
to have some SNL nerds emojis.
Not productive. Get on it.
Yep.
All right. So, so that's. I don't really have any thoughts on that sketch.
Yeah, not much else to say about this one.
The next sketch is a bunch of nerds in an office, and they're kind of doing a bunch of like Dungeons and Dragons talk.
Yeah, this was a Beck Bennett, Kyle Mooney joint with Kit Harington and the three nerdy guys in the office, and their nerdy behaviors creeping out everyone there.
Yeah, like they talk in like this sort of Dungeons and Dragons talk amongst themselves.
Yeah.
It's like, what ho, you battled my battle sword and blah blah blah.
And Kit Harington's character gets Employee of the Month, and then the other nerds become jealous because they helped out on this project, and then they're all.
Yeah.
I didn't like this at all.
And then, the twist at the end was that they tried to blackmail their boss and giving them all Employee of the Month because they caught death pictures of the boss masturbating in the stairwell.
Yeah.
And
as you do at work, apparently.
Yeah. Where else are you going to... If you can think of a quieter place than the stairwell where you to masturbate, I'd love to hear it. And,
I'm just going to let that lie there.
And then they'll have copies of pictures of their boss masturbating in the stairwell, and so they all become Employees of the Month, and then they all run out to like TGI Fridays or whatever.
Yeah,
I
didn't like this at all. I'll be honest. I thought this was hack. I thought this was just, you know, oh, nerds are so goofy, and it was like the kind of shit that Big Bang Theory does.
Nerd bet, yeah.
You know, it was just like, oh, nerds, they're so weird, they're so stupid, they're so.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you're all gonna go see Endgame and all the other movies that we nerds have loved forever. You bastards.
I mean, these are like 40-year-old stereotypes.
Like,
man.
Oh, nerds live in their basement with their moms, and they're awkward, and they wear glasses.
Yeah.
Whatever. I moved out of my mom's house when I was 33. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
God. But yeah, like it was, you know, not to mention it is very Big Bang Theory where it's just like,
yeah,
all this nerd bashing.
And you know, I watched Big Bang Theory for a little while, but then I got tired of it. And then I just realized that like the nerds were the butt of every freaking joke on that show.
It's very much like a minstrel show for nerds. Like nerd, minstrel.
I've heard it called that. I wasn't going to use that term.
Oh,
but,
okay. I'll use it.
You can use that term. I mean,
come at me, nerds.
If one of us is going to call something a minstrel show, it should be you.
But but it's just like, but yeah, this sketch, I was like, the whole show is just like, all right.
Yeah, it started off real strong and then it took a turn.
All right, and so the last one is colon exam.
A colon exam at the Foley Correctional Clinic.
We had
Kit Harington as the patient who's about to get a rectal exam.
Yes.
Cecily Strong
is the nurse.
He thinks she's the doctor at first, and he's flirting with her a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, hey, maybe we could go out after this is over, and she's like, oh, if I don't find anything on your exam, sure.
It's a bold move. It's like... Ask out your doctor who's going to look up your beehole.
That's
a baller move.
That's a way to go. and then Leslie Jones comes in, and it turns out she's the real doctor, and she's got these hugely long fingernails that are going like 6 inches out from her fingers.
Right, and they have like diamonds on them.
Right, right.
And she says, like, oh, I just need to get a clear view of that sugar bowl.
Yeah, and she doesn't want to use gloves because they would interfere with the nails. And
yeah.
And I'm not sure if this was a sincere mistake or not. They drop a prop that was...
I think that was a mistake.
Yeah, and then because she says, like, oh, you're going to need to sterilize that. It sounded like an improv for
that. Yeah, that must have been a mistake. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they start struggling, and Pete Davidson comes in, and he's an orderly, and he's, like, holding Kit Harington down so they can perform the exam.
Yeah, and they're, like, in a wrestling pose, and it's, like, Kit Harington's his butt's all in the air, and they got to go digging in there, and then the tour, they don't go digging in there, but they're about to. But
they're preparing to dig in there.
They're preparing to dig in there. I think that's the medical term.
And then at the very end, there's another twist.
Another twist.
Another plot twist. This is like the Black Mirror of Saturday Night Live.
Shyamalan.
You know, they went all Shyamalan with it.
Yeah, and the twist is that Kit Harington is actually the boss of the, you know, what is it? The butthole doctor place? The butthole hospital?
The proctologist?
That's it. That's it.
The butthole doctor place.
Isn't that the typical? Isn't that the technical term?
Yeah, sure. It turns out the whole thing was an episode of Undercover Boss.
Yeah.
Which certainly an unexpected original twist. I didn't mind this twist. It was kind of a...
Okay.
I think it was the funniest of the twists they did this night.
It was.
And he gives them all, like, positive reviews. He's like, you know, Cecily, you flirted with me just enough to, you know, keep me in the room, which was good. And Leslie, you did this. And Pete, you held me down very nicely.
You held me down.
I don't remember what his positive feedback was for everybody, but he had positive feedback for everyone. And that was it.
That's the episode.
And
actually, something I just noticed. I just found out about while I was checking my phone a couple minutes ago. At the end, when they give the goodbyes, Jason Sudeikis is there.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing a T-shirt that says Kristen and Jason and Andy and Bill.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah,
that's
sweet. I didn't notice it until literally a couple minutes ago. I was checking my phone, but yeah.
Wow.
Kristen Wiig, Jason Sudeikis, Andy Samberg, and Bill Hader.
Are we sure that's who he was referring to?
I mean, who else could it be?
I don't know. I want to come up with some other random Kristen.
Kristen Jason, Stewart, Jason.
Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa, Andy Serkis.
Yes.
And Bill Cosby? No, I shouldn't say that.
Probably not Bill Cosby.
Not Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
That's the only Bill I know. Billy Joel.
Yes.
There you go.
He's big fans of all of those people, of Kristen Stewart, Jason Momoa, Andy Serkis, and Billy Joel. Woo, I remembered them all.
Ooh,
yeah.
Nice.
I listened to my co-host.
Yay.
Yeah.
But this episode, I mean, it was pretty lackluster.
It was lackluster. I think it was a step up from last week's episode with Sandra Oh and Tame Impala.
Really? You thought this was better than Sandra Oh?
I think so, because at least it started strong.
Huh. All right.
I mean, that's just my personal preference. You know, you go your own way.
You can go your own way.
Go your own way.
I mean, I think this was maybe a little bit a step down. I mean,
okay.
The Sandra Oh.
Wow.
The Sandra Oh, I got to watch it again.
Do you? I wouldn't wish that upon you.
Maybe not. You know what? I just remembered the Jesse Smollett episode, the sketch.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So you don't want to go there.
There was that. All right.
I mean, the revelation I had at the end of this is that when SNL isn't really working, it's a series of disappointing experiences. But I still keep coming back for more the next week, always hoping for the best.
Yeah.
And in that way, it's a lot like my dating life.
All right. Because, whoa.
You know, it's like, wow, that wasn't as good as what I was hoping it would be. But yeah, hey, well, maybe it'll turn around.
Tomorrow's another day.
That's right.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
And we're feeling optimistic about next week because we got Emma Stone returning to host.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Is this her fifth time?
Fourth.
Okay.
She's getting close to that five-timers
club. Closing in on that five-timers club. And then we have BTS as a musical guest.
Yes.
Who's,
K-pop.
K-pop. They're a boy band from Korea.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. Apparently, I'd never heard of them until they were mentioned, but, I told my wife about it, and she's like, no, they're huge stars. They're, internationally known.
That's cool.
They have a huge, huge following.
So there are going to be a lot of screaming girls in the audience.
Yes, there will be.
It'll be like when One Direction was on, and they'll just be like,
Yeah, actually, it will be. Yeah. So prepare yourself for that.
Okay.
Prepare to feel old beyond your years.
Adjust your volumes accordingly.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, that's what we got.
But that'll be fun. We're looking forward to that. And then we believe that SNL is off for a couple weeks, and then then it returns with the Adam Sandler episode on May the 4th.
Very much so. And in between that, we'll record a couple episodes. We won't tell you what it is just yet, but we came up with an idea for one that
we have one thing we're really excited about.
We're like, and we're super jazzed for this one.
Yeah, we brainstormed a little before we started recording. We're like, yeah, that'll be fun. Let's do that. All right. And this will be up our alley. This won't be like this Game of Thrones stuff where we're like, I think it's sort of like this.
No, this we know about.
This is in our wheelhouse.
It's gonna be a two-parter.
Yeah, it could be. God. We could go on. So that's what we have to say. Please follow us on Twitter at SNL Nerd Show.
Yes, subscribe, rate, review, give us money, donate to the Patreon.
Mm-hmm. You can find the Patreon on non-productive.com. You indicate that you're contributing to the Patreon for the SNL Nerd Show.
And please review, like I said, rate and review the podcast. It's been a while since we've gotten a review, so you know.
Yeah, not since like February. But we are getting more followers on Twitter. I think we're up to like 125 now, that's fun.
Moving on up.
So, and we are also both individually on Twitter. I'm there at Trumbull Comic.
I'm there as at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible.
Yeah, so you can find us both there. Do we have any other things to plug up?
Not really. You can find me on Instagram, at Darren Credible, website darrencredible.com.
Okay, we get it. You're online a lot.
Yeah, I haven't looked away from my phone in ages.
Okay.
That's right.
But
the real world frightens me, and the warmth of my phone consoles me.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening. This show was taped without a live studio audience. So
nope.
We will see you next week.
Later.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.